This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Talk to us about the Holy Father's Wednesday audience this morning. I believe it was outdoors in St. Peter's Square.
You got it. And what a day. It's an absolutely glorious day today in the upper 70s. And Pope Francis today, during his weekly catechesis, reflected on his recent voyage to Kazakhstan. This, of course, was his 38th apostolic journey, and he called it a pilgrimage of peace. He spoke during that time about, he made many pleas for peace while he was there. Also, while he was at the Congress of Religious Leaders, he encouraged interfaith interactions. Now, he today talked especially about the importance of interreligious dialogue in the achievement of unity and peace. And he remembered the church in Kazakhstan, saying he was so glad to meet a community of who he called happy, joyful people. He said they were just filled with enthusiasm. And of course, the country of Kazakhstan is majority Muslim, about 25% Catholics. And Pope Francis pointed out that being in a Catholic minority can really bring evangelical opportunities and fruits. He said that the Catholics there are blessed in their littleness and of being leaven and salt and light that can rely only on the Lord, and that's it. Now, he also said that Kazakhstan's vocation is meant to be a country of encounter. He pointed out that there are about 150 ethnic groups and 80 different languages that are spoken there, and so that Catholics should trust in the action of the Holy Spirit. And he encouraged all local Catholics to develop relationships with Christians of other denominations, and then to work toward fraternity with all. And then he also encouraged all the people of Kazakhstan to look to the cross. He said, the cross, of course, is an anchor of salvation, and it's a sign of hope, hope that does not disappoint. And that's because it's founded on the love of God, on his mercy, and of course, we know how faithful he is. And in addition, John, the Pope thanked all in Kazakhstan who made this trip possible for him and made it go so smoothly. And especially he thanked various bishops, the collaborators, and for the people who greeted him with such warmth, he said. Now, John, something that this trip has brought to light that not a whole lot of people knew about was a miracle that happened way back in 1941 in Kazakhstan. And during World War II, the people were starving, and any food of the area was being sent to the battle lines to nourish the soldiers. And so the people of the area got together and began praying, especially praying the rosary, asking for the intercession of Our Lady to bring them food. And during spring, when the snow started to melt just a little bit, all of a sudden, where there wasn't one before, a small lake appeared. And in this lake, it was filled with fish. In fact, there were enough fish for all of the people of the region and even to send to other parts of Kazakhstan. So they call it the modern miracle of the fish. And after that, the situation was investigated by the local bishop and then a church built there. So the people of that area have a very strong devotion to Our Lady, especially, and thanks for answering their prayers. And then, John, finally today at the papal audience, the Pope gave a shout out to the members of the Venerable English College who were there. The new seminarians of the college were there preparing to begin their priestly formation in Rome. And he also recalled today as World Alzheimer's Day. So he asked for prayers, especially for those who are suffering from Alzheimer's, for their families, and for those who care for them. And he prayed especially that all those may be supported and helped and loved, John.
The Holy Father obviously has a heart, especially for elderly people, something that he's been talking about for so long previously at the audiences. One other note, it was reported by Vatican News that Pope Francis also appealed for prayers and closeness to the people of Ukraine with everything that they've been going through now well over 6 months since the start of the war.
Yes. In fact, he specifically called for prayers today. And we know that this is a plea that he has put out many times before, asking the world to come together for Ukraine, but also for peace in all of the world.
Talk to us about this Matera Eucharistic Congress. What is happening with that?
Yes. Well, Pope Francis is actually preparing to visit the city of Matera. Now, it may be familiar to some of our listeners. Matera is in the province of Basilicata, and it's absolutely charming. This is the place where, for example, Mel Gibson's The Passion was filmed. And the Eucharistic Congress is about to take place there from the 22nd to the 25th of this month. And as 35,000 hosts are being prepared to be distributed to the faithful during this conference, during this Congress. There's a program called the Bread of Hope. And through it, those who are actually preparing the bread for the Eucharist are prison inmates. So they are part of this program and they are actually preparing and then kneading the bread that will soon be consumed. And of course, it's pointed out by the directorship of the program that the same hands who in the past had committed crimes are now kneading what will become the body of Christ. And of course, Pope Francis himself will celebrate the closing mass of that Eucharistic Congress in Matera. And this is not an isolated event here, John. In fact, what are called Eucharistic workshops have actually popped up in different places throughout the world. And in fact, in Buenos Aires, young people who've recovered from drug addictions are doing the same, kneading the bread that will eventually be confected into the Eucharist. In Pompeii and in Bethlehem, disabled people are doing the same. In Ethiopia, former street children. In Milan, single mothers. In Sri Lanka, widows, young widows. And also then in various cities throughout Europe, prison inmates and former detainees are participating in the Bread of Hope program, John. So sure enough, this will all be happening over the next few days in the town of Matera, Italy.
It sounds outstanding. The Bread of Hope, which will become the Bread of Life. Truly present, our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. And it's good to see that it's happening in many parts of the world, including there in Matera. And here in the U.S., of course, the U.S. Bishops have been calling for this Eucharistic revival for the next 3 years, that we focus on the importance of the Eucharist. So it sounds like a wonderful event.
Yes, exactly. And I sure can't think of anything better to focus on, John, than to turn our eyes and our sights and our thoughts to the Eucharist.
That's what it's all about, the source and summit of our faith. What is happening in Marsh? I understand there's been some terrible, terrible storms.
Yes, there have been violent storms and flash floods as well. And it's really been hitting the central part of that Marche region. And 11 people at this point, John, are confirmed to have died. Sadly, there are two people still missing. One is an 8-year-old boy. The other is a 56-year-old mom. At this point, they're feared that they will probably not be found alive. Little Mattia, 8-year-old Mattia, was with his mother in a car as they saw these violent waters rushing toward them. They feared their car was going to be washed away. They got out of the car and little Mattia was just snatched from his mother's arms by the water. She was eventually found. At this point, they've found his tennis shoes and they have found his backpack about 8 kilometers from where he went missing. In the meantime, there were many other reports of people being washed away. There was a 21-year-old boy who managed to survive because for 2 hours he hung onto a large plant and managed to eventually be rescued. Many people climbed onto roofs, onto trees, until the firefighters were able to get them hours later. So they say that it was, although they knew the rains were coming, it was impossible to forecast the level of violence that hit Marche. So actually the entire eastern boundary of the province is formed by the Adriatic there. Some of the most famous cities, Ancona, Urbino, are there in the Marche region. So the people of this area could really use our prayers, John.
Absolutely. Many prayers for the people of Marche. Meanwhile, there are celebrations obviously going on today for the feast of St. Matthew. Yesterday, the feast of St. Januarius, and the upcoming feast of St. Padre Pio this Friday. A lot of celebrations. How is it being done there in Roma?
We sure do love to party over here, John. What can I say? So sure enough, today for the Feast of St. Matthew, pilgrims here in Rome will go to the Church of San Luigi dei Francesi, St. Louis of the French, named after St. Louis the Ninth. And that is because inside is a chapel that's most famous because of the artist who actually created the three fantastic altarpieces. And that was a man named Michelangelo Merisi, who we all know better as Caravaggio. And Caravaggio made three scenes from the life of St. Matthew: the calling of St. Matthew the tax collector, Matthew the evangelist, and then the martyrdom of Matthew. So this is a very popular place of pilgrimage, especially today. And then you mentioned also St. Januarius. Of course, on his feast, he was a bishop who died back in 305 AD, the Bishop of Benevento. And there is an ampule of his blood that is kept in the city of Naples. He is the patron of the city of Naples. And every year on his feast day, all the people come together in the main cathedral there, and they ask St. Januarius for the gift of a miracle, for the liquefaction of his blood. And sure enough, it did liquefy again this year on his feast day. And it's so exciting. I did attend not this year, but in a year past with my mom and our dear friend Trish. And it was such an incredible thing to see, because after the bishop announced the liquefaction, everyone pulled out their white handkerchiefs and waved them in the air. Evviva San Gennaro! Evviva San Gennaro! Long live St. Januarius! And then, of course, stood in long lines to venerate that relic of his blood. And then we're all preparing for the Feast of Padre Pio coming up on the 23rd. There is a novena going on here at the Church of San Salvatore Torre in Lauro. And this has various relics of Padre Pio, including, for example, gloves, the very gloves that would have covered his stigmata, as well as vestments that Padre Pio wore. And on his feast day, after these 9 days of prayer and novena, there will be a great big procession through the streets of the center of Rome, ending up in Piazza Navona, where they carry this very large bust. And he is especially the patron of civil protection workers. So you will find all kinds of people in uniform filling Piazza Navona as the bishop then blesses all of them and asks for the intercession of Padre Pio, John.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.